the glory and the honor belongs to my Father. None can compare to his mercy and power. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea? When you called upon his name, and he reached down his nail-scarred hand and lifted you out. So remember where you were back then, and thank him for where you are now, and give him glory for what he's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. And he took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve him, but you didn't think that Jesus could use someone like you? Now look how he's used your life since he called you out. Then remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are now, and give him the glory what he's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. And he took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crown of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. And you know, when we receive those crowns from the Lord, comparatively speaking, and we see his glory and his goodness, and we're going to look at what we've done for Christ compared to his glory, you know what? You're not going to need any prompting to cast those crowns at his feet, because he's going to be worthy of all praise and all glory and all worship when we get to heaven. Those crowns are wonderful, but you know what? The thing about it is, when you focus on Jesus, that's going to be our focus of attention for all eternity. It's going to be a wonderful day, and I'm looking forward to that day. But for now, take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you're new to the Scripture, if you'll find Genesis, then just go forward. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and you'll find the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Now, before you stand, let me just give you just a quick background of what is where we are in Scripture here. As you know, God has promised the people of God a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, I've prepared this land for you. He says, now I want you to go in and possess that land. It's yours. Go in. Well, because of the people of God's hesitation to obey God and to do the will of God, and by the way, if you've got a word from God to do something, go ahead and go on with it, because I promise you He's going to be behind it every step of the way. And He had prepared the land. They chose not to go in. They chose to question God, and because of their disobedience and refusal to go in, God said, fine, then you can wander now in the wilderness. And they wandered for 40 years. They went about wandering to and fro. Now, let me tell you the interesting thing about their wandering in the wilderness. You say, well, God, what did He do? Just kick them out and forsake them? No, not at all. When they went out into the wilderness and wandered there for 40 years, do you know their clothes never wore out? Their shoes never wore out. And on top of that, He fed them and watered them the whole way. Now let me tell you, you know what we call that now? We call that grace. That is the grace of God. Because listen, if God didn't extend His grace and mercy to us, we would be consumed, folks, in His goodness and glory. But He loved the people of God, and they have been wandering now for 40 years. Now, would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? We're going to begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1. You've kind of got a synopsis of where we are in Scripture. Now we are now coming to the end of the 40 years that Israel has wandered in the wilderness, or wandered in the wilderness. We are now in the 40th year, the Bible teaches us now in verse number 3, the 11th month, the first day of that 11th month. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Astaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, and I want you to notice verse number 6 for our text verse. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Now I want you to notice, if you would, back in verse number 6, the children of Israel now, after 40 years, nearly a completing 40 years of wandering, all those 20 and above now have now died and gone on. Time was narrowing down, and God makes this statement after their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He says now, you've camped out here at Horeb. He says, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. And I want to speak to you using that verse today, if I could, and preach to you on the subject, it's time to go. It's time to go. Now, Father, would you bless the time we have together this morning? Thank you for the precious, holy, inerrant Word of God that we have in our possession today. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, teach us, I pray, from your Word, and we'll give all the glory and all the praise to the name of Jesus. For it's His name we pray all of these things in this morning. Amen, and you can be seated. Parents, have you ever needed to be somewhere and you knew that you needed to leave at a specific time, and when the time came to leave, you looked around to the kids and you said, hey, it's time to go, let's go. But they were locked into either playing a game Or they were locked in. If they were younger, they were coloring or some activity and they weren't ready to leave yet, and yet it was time to go if you were to be on time to where you were supposed to be. You told them maybe several times that it's time to go, but they were just locked into whatever they were doing and being absorbed into whatever project that they were involved in. And you know what? They just really weren't ready to go yet. You know, I've got a 5-year-old granddaughter, and she loves to do all kinds of activities. And sometimes, you know, we get ready to go, and she's locked into coloring, or she's locked into doing or playing a game. And we tell her, listen, it's time to go. Okay, I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. Can you give me just another minute? No. It's time to go right now. And God was telling here the people of God that, you know what, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. You see, they had become attached now because they'd been wandering for 40 years. Those that went in that are very young age now, 40 years later, were about my age. Some of them were probably 50 years oldish, somewhere in that vicinity, or maybe even closer to 60 years old now. They had become attached to their surroundings. By the way, nobody likes change. Amen, preacher. Nobody likes change, even if you are in the wilderness. You see, why are our kids so attached to their activities and not ready to leave just yet? Well, you know why? They enjoy them. They enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy the place they are. They're kind of in a comfort zone. And they're like, what? Time to go already? But I'm involved in something here. Listen to me, folks. We're way too involved with things of this world. Way too involved. I'm here to tell you today that just as God told Israel, you know what? You're too attached to Horeb. You're too attached to Sinai. By the way, let me tell you why they were so attached to this area. Can I remind you that in this same area was where Moses first met with God in the burning bush, in Mount Sinai and in Horeb? May I also remind you that this is where Moses went up and received the commandments of God? This was this same area. This was also the same area where God spoke to them out of the mount. Remember, he came down as fire upon the mount and spoke to them audibly out of the mount. This was the same area where God made a covenant with them. This was also the same area where God brought water out of a rock. You see, this area of Horeb was special to them, and it was an area that they were comfortable with. But the time had come where God told Israel, it's time to go. It's time to move out of here. It's time to conclude your 40 years of wandering. It's time to move on to some other area and phase of life. So I've mentioned those that were 20 and above when they went in had all died off now because of their unbelief and their lack of faith and their disobedience to God. But I want you to notice that from Horeb, if you'll look in your Bible once again in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 2, I want you to notice that from Horeb, where they were, to the promised land, did you notice it says there are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea? Do you realize, folks, they were only 11 days from the promised land? They were only a very short distance. You say, man, love, it sure took them a long time to get there. They were 11 days and it took them 40 years to get there. Can I say to you that most of us are a very short distance from the will of God for your life, and many of us have been wandering for years and years and years, and we haven't reached it yet. May I say to you today, as God told the people of Israel, it's time to go. It's time to go. 40 years of wandering. And when God found them and told them, hey, it's time to move out, they were only 11 days. Just 11 days journey from the promised land. How much time have we wasted for God? Wandering about and doing our own thing, or maybe pursuing our own ambitions instead of God's perfect will for our life. And I want to say to believers here this morning, you listen to me well, because we have wandered about the land so long, our land, America, has been overrun with giants. It's been overrun with immorality, pervertedness, and idolatry. You see, the Word of God in 2011 more and more is falling silent in the streets because of the idleness of the people of God. We've become comfortable with where we are. May I say to you, there's a God in heaven today to us Christians. Listen, you know what he's saying? It's time to go. America needs believers to stand up in our day and time today. You see, the living God is becoming, or the church of the living God is becoming less and less a priority to Christians. I'm here to tell you, it's time to go, folks. It's time to move out. May I proclaim to you today, child of God, the same as God proclaimed to Israel, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. It's time to leave our activities. It's time to put aside our games and our DVDs and our coloring books and all of our hobbies and focus on what the main thing is. The main thing is the will of God. God has a promised land. He's got a land prepared for you, flowing with milk and honey, that successful life. But he's prepared for you. I'm here to tell you, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. It's time to go. May I say to you that there's a greater purpose and place in life than what you're enjoying right now? It's time to go, and the time is now. May I remind you that in Acts chapter 1, that the apostles and the disciples that had walked with Jesus now for 3 years plus had learned his heart. And you know what they were told? They said, listen, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told them, he said, listen, I've taught you all that I'm going to teach you. There'll be no more seminars. There'll be no more private meetings. There'll be no more time together where we eat together. He said, I've taught you for 3 years plus now. He said, I'm ascending back to heaven. And by the way, he did. And you know what they were doing? They did the same thing most of us are doing today. He's gone. He's really gone. But may I say to you today, he's really coming back though. Because as he ascended up into heaven, two men dressed in white apparel faced these disciples and apostles. And they said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. May I say to you this morning, dear friend, listen to me. The apostles, they had been taught. They had been instructed. You know what Jesus said before he ascended? It's time to go. You know what? You go to the book of Acts, you open your Bible up, you know what your Bible's probably going to say in there? The Acts of the Apostles. It was time to move now. It was time to get out there and put to practice what they had learned. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. The scripture says there, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 7 or 3 and verse number 7 says there's a time to speak. Oh, but you know, in verse number 8 says there's a time of war. And folks, if you haven't figured it out yet, you know what we're in? We're in a war. You say, what are we warring against? The devil and evil. And you know what the devil and evil want to do? They want to consume America. They want to consume your home. It wants to destroy your marriage. It wants to destroy this church and anything that we're doing for the glory of God. Now, with that said, I want to give you a few things to think about this morning as you leave. I want to say, first of all, listen carefully. It's time, dear folks, to go in and possess the land. You hear me? We're going to stand back, and I want believers to look at it. We're going to stand back and do nothing, and you know what? America's going to go to pot. Why? Because we're not doing anything. We sit here and watch all of these things, and listen, we think, well, you know, our congressman or our senator and stuff, bless their heart. I ain't blessing nobody's heart that's passing things and doing things against the Word of God. You say, well, how do we get them out? You vote them out. That's how you get them out. You say, well, what are we going to do? Stand up. Now, listen, folks, I don't know about you. I'm not willing to just stand by and watch America go down the tubes. I'm not. Say, preacher, you could talk like this, you might find yourself in jail. Well, you know what? Then come see me. Somebody come visit me. But you know what? I'm just telling you, folks, we got to go in and possess the land. God says, listen, there's a harvest of souls. There's a harvest of people waiting for somebody to go in and gather the harvest. We need to go in and possess the land. Look in your Bible, if you would. You know, after he told the people of God that you've dwelt long enough in this mount, there's two things that he pointed out, and I need to bring these to your attention. You know, if we're going to go, if we're going to take and go and possess the land, two things that he told them. Look in verse number 7. He said, turn, and then he said, journey. There's two things that if we're going to go in and possess the land today and reclaim our country, reclaim our families, reclaim our homes for the glory of God, we've got to go in and possess it. Here's what he said. First of all, you're going to have to turn. You're going to have to turn from where you are to where you need to be. You say, well, how can I do that? Realize that where you are is not where you need to be or where you're supposed to be or where God wants you to be. We have to come to that understanding. But he says you're going to have to turn. You're going to have to make some changes. Take your Bible, if you would. We're not far from there. To 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Turn there if you would with me. It'll be familiar to you once you get there. Now, this is a big word right at the beginning of this verse. It says, if. That word if means obviously there's going to be some that are not. But he said, if my people. He didn't say the heathens. He said, if my people. That's the children of God. That's us. That's born again believers. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh, look at this. Does your Bible say turn? Yeah. And turn from what? Their wicked ways. You say, well, preacher, what I'm doing, that's not so bad. Well, how does it line up with the scriptures? Doesn't matter what we think. Listen, we cannot define our own terms. The scripture has already defined terms for us. He says, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So he says, people of God, children of God, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. First thing he tells them to do is turn. He said, you're going to have to make some changes. Some changes are going to have to be made. You're going to have to change your direction. You're going to have to change your mindset, the way that you think. Oh, you're going to have to change commitments. Because you know what? Right now, when we go in, you're going to have to be committed to go in and take the land. Now, here's what we want to do. You've heard me say this many times. Here's what we want to do. In our Christian life, we want to do everything. We want God to do everything, but we want to get all the credit. And did you know that God's not going to do everything for you? Because did you notice the second word that he said? He said, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. He says, turn, and now you've got to take a journey. Yeah, you're going to have to journey when you go find out. You know what? It wasn't a metropolis that they had to journey through. They had to journey through a wilderness to get to Kadesh Barnea. May I say to you, you know what? As a child of God, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. You know what the Bible calls you? A sojourner. You're just passing through. But listen, folks, some of us, we've got the idea that while we're passing through, we're supposed to get everything that we can and hold on to it. Let me tell you something. After it's all said and done, you know where all that's going back? To the dirt. You're not taking any of that with you. Matter of fact, the only thing you're taking with you out of this world is anybody that you've led to Christ. That's it. That's all you're taking out. But sometimes most of us, we've gone through this life and we've kind of gotten sticky fingers. We're trying to hold on and get as much wealth as we can get and be as popular as we can get. And God said, listen, you're going to turn, but you're going to have to take a journey. Moses, if you'll remember, after he came down from Sinai, the people of God had gone corrupt. Listen, folks, just like God is saying today, who's on the Lord's side? See, the thing about it is, unfortunately, after we're all dismissed today and go out, some of us are going to go out and just filter right back in the world. Nobody knows who we are. I'm just saying, who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to leave Horeb and go in and possess the land? You see, I'm here to tell you that soon we're all going to be forced to choose whose side we're on. You see, the book of Acts reveals to us that the apostles chose Jesus and made a commitment to him. And by the way, they got there and you know what? They were forced to make a choice. They had to choose. And may I say to you today, you're going to have to choose. It's either the Lord or not. It's God or the world. Listen, the scripture says you can't serve two masters. Hey, you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to hate the one and cling to the other. But you cannot serve two masters. You know what? Let me tell you what happens when a believer tries to serve two masters. Insanity. You go out of your mind. Because you try to live one way outside the house of God, and then you try to live another way inside the house of God. You can't do it. You see, I'm just saying it's time to go in and possess the land. But what's going to be required is there's going to have to be a turning, and there's going to take a journey. And may I say, when you journey, you need to know where you're going. By the way, you know what? When God said turn, journey, do you know they knew where they were going? He had already told them, this is where I want you to go. They were focused on where they were supposed to go. Hey, you got to be alert and aware of what's going on around you. You see, obviously God wants us to get there by the straightest route possible. Because you know what he said? He said, from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, how many days? 11 days. You know how long it took him to get there? 40 years. 40 years to go 11 days. I'm just asking you, how long does it take you, and how long is it going to take you to get in the will of God? Is it going to take the majority of your life? Are you going to get to 50, 55, 60 years old, and then decide then, I'm going to get in the will of God? May I say to you that most of us in this room are very close if we will just commit and focus and turn and journey. It is going to take a journey. Absolutely it is. When are we going to get tired of wandering around in the wilderness of life? When is enough going to be enough for you? When are you going to get tired of dwelling at the mountain? God says, listen, it's time you've dwelt here long enough. How miserable are we going to have to get until we decide, you know what? It's time to go. It's time to go. May I say to you, it's time to go in and possess God's will for your life. It's time to go in and possess God's blessings for your life. It's time to go in and possess and take back your home. It's time to go in and take back your marriage. It's time to speak up and speak out against the immorality of our day. Take your Bible, if you would, for a second. Go to Acts chapter 5 for a moment. Acts chapter 5. I want you to notice something here. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles have been arrested. And the high priest and the Sadducees had thrown them in jail. Well, an angel of the Lord came and opened the prison door that night. You know what? He didn't tell them, now listen, you guys go get out of here, hurry, go find a place to hide so they can't find you. You know, the angel of the Lord came and opened the prison doors for Peter and the rest of the apostles. And I want you to look in verse number 20, and I want you to look at what he told them to do. He let them out of prison. What's the first thing he told them to do? Verse 20. Go. Go do what? Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. He says, listen, you know what? Yeah, there's going to be some setbacks. He says, but I'm going to break you free. And when I break you free, you know what you're to do? Go. You see, opposition's going to come. But may I say to you that God is not saying, stop serving me until the opposition is over. He's saying, in the midst of that opposition, you need to go. We need to go and get out there and do what God's will is for our life. Speak up. Speak out. You see, it's time for some here, though, today to go in and possess salvation that's already been provided for you in Jesus Christ. You see, you've dwelt long enough in that lost condition. There's a God in heaven's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance this morning. He's not willing that you die without Christ, but that you come to Jesus this morning. Flip in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Remember, there was a blind man in John chapter 9 that could not see, couldn't see, and he cried out for Jesus and the mercy of Jesus, and the Lord looked upon him, and the Bible says he spit on the ground and formed clay out of the spit and the dirt of the ground, and he placed it on this blind man's eye. People begin to question in verse number 8 whether it was the blind man or not. Some said, well, it might be him. Others said, well, it looks like him. And then finally he spoke up and said, it is me. It's your old school buddy. Remember me? And they're like, no, it can't be you because you're blind. You can't see. They said, how is it that your eyes are opened? Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, look at what it says. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He says, and I went and washed, and I received my sight. That's all I can say. Can I tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what the Lord's telling you to do? Go. Go where? To the cross. Hey, he didn't say go join a church. He didn't go say do this or that. He said go to the cross. That's where the shed blood of Christ is. That's where your answer of joy and happiness and eternal life exists. Some this morning, you've dwelt long enough in that lost condition. You need to free yourself. It's time to go to the cross of Christ. You see, not only is it time to go in and possess the land, may I say, according to John chapter 8 and verse number 11, remember a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery was cast at Jesus' feet. Remember, and them snub-nosed Pharisees that better than thou attitude threw her down like a piece of trash. Said she was caught in the very act of adultery, trying to catch Jesus in his words. If you're right close there, if you'll flip over to John chapter 8 and verse number 11. Remember, Jesus told them, he says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, they couldn't. They dropped their stones. They walked off. And I want you to notice Jesus in verse number 11. In verse number 10, remember, he says, woman, where are thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. What did he tell her to do? Go. Get. Go. Hey, you know what he told the apostles? Go. You know what he told the blind man? Go. You know what he told the adulterous woman? Listen to me now. Caught in the very act of adultery, he said, go, and here's the second thing I want you to look. It's time to go and sin no more. You know that if we're not careful, we will excuse our sin, just say, well, that's, you know what? That's just what I am. Hey, by the way, Paul said, I am what I am. And we'll use Scripture to try to excuse our own weaknesses and our own sin. We literally, listen to me, we plan to fail. We plan. You say, well, preacher, I just can't seem to get over that. Well, let me say to you today, if you're a child of God, it's time to shore up those weaknesses. It's time to identify that sin that so easily besets you. It's time to acknowledge our faults and correct them. May I say to you, it's time to get help. Amen, preacher. We try everything. You know what we'll do? You think, man, life, I got a problem. And what we'll do is we'll go down to the Christian bookstore and buy a book, thinking that that book alone is the answer to all of our problems. Let me say something to you. Before you go buy a book, how about you read the book for a moment? Okay? That book has all the answers of what you need in life. You say, I'm depressed. It's got the answer. You say, I'm discouraged. Got the answer. You say, I'm just so emotional, I'm so stressed. It's got the answer for that too. And see, what I'm saying is before you go spend money and go purchase something or go spend hundreds and maybe even thousands of dollars on a seminar program, check the book out first. Check it out. I'm just saying, listen, it's time to go and sin no more. Get off of this kick. Well, I am what I am, preacher. Let me say to you, in Luke chapter 15, remember the prodigal? He went out and spent all that he had, wasted all of his substance, finds himself in a pig pen. May I remind you what he said to himself when he was down in that pig pen? He thought, you know what? I'm wallowing in sin. I'm tired of this. Enough's enough. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to go to my Father. You see, we'll go to everybody else. And I'm, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not against good seminars and books. But what I'm saying is, how about let's check Jesus out first. Let's find out what the book says. Let's go through the spiritual aspect of it and try to get our answers first before we start trying to get our answers from men. Hey, did you know that men can be wrong? Did you know that men can give bad counsel also? And just because it's a million plus seller don't mean that it's right. Don't mean that it's good counsel. I'm just saying it's time that we go and sin no more. You say, well, preacher, it's impossible not to sin. I understand that, but you know what? You don't have to love it. You don't have to wake up every day and say, man, you know what? I know I'm gonna sin here, 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 here. So there's about a half a dozen sins I'm just going to kind of get a mulligan on. You know what I'm talking about? Now, may I say to you, God don't give mulligans. There ain't no such thing. He gives grace. He gives mercy. Ain't no such thing as God's giving mulligans on sin. You know what Jesus told that adulterous woman? He said, go and don't you do this sin no more. You know what he's telling some of us today? You know what your weakness is. You know what he's telling you? Go, sin no more. Go, sin no more. Let me give you one last one real quick. Turn, if you would, to John 15. We got to hurry. John 15. I'm just saying it's time to go, folks. It's time to go possess the land. It's time to go and sin no more. And let's stop wallowing in the hog pen. I want to say to you, number three, in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should... Oh, goodness, there's that word again. Let's circle that one again. You know what he told them to do now? Go and bring forth fruit. So he said, we're to go possess the land. We're to go and sin no more. And here Jesus says, now it's time to go and bring forth fruit. He said, what are we to do? We need to go and proclaim the word of God. He said, well, preacher, I have a hard time talking to people. All right, I got your answer. I've got about 30 signs that says Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what all you've got to do? Oh, you don't have to say anything to anybody. Just go hold them up. Go find your street corner and just hold up the sign. And it just says, Jesus saves. You don't say anything to anybody. What I'm saying to you, folks, listen, we've got to do something. We've dwelt long enough in this mount. When are the people of God going to stand up? There's a steamroller coming right at us. Are you just going to stand there and let it run over the top of you? We've got to do something. It's time to go and bring forth fruit. People, do you realize that people are dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ as I speak? Who's going to tell them? You say, well, preacher, God don't need me. Oh, he don't? He's got to have your mouth. You see, when he told the people, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. You know what he told them? Two things. Turn, journey. You know how the word of God's going to get out? Through you and me. You say, well, look at all these other people. He can use them. What about your family? You just going to let them die and go to hell? Amen, preacher. Hey, I'm just telling you, it's time to go. It's time to start getting the word out. Hey, it's for a lot of us, it's time to start being faithful to the house of God. Hey, you know what? When Jesus comes back, you know what? I hope I'm in church. I hope I'm not sitting at home in my recliner when church is going on or soul winning's going on and the rapture takes place and Jesus said, ha ha, got you. You're supposed to be in church. You're supposed to be in the house of God. Hey, may I say to some of us, we've dwelt too long in our recliner. We've dwelt too long in our home. When are we going to decide that we're going to give God all of our life? Hey, when are we going to minister to the fallen? Feed the hungry, help the homeless, the discouraged, the disappointed. I'm just saying to you this morning, you know what? It's time to go. It's time to go. And you know, everybody in here can do something. You say, well, preacher, I can't do much. I didn't say how much you could do. I said, but everybody can do something. And I'm here today, and I'm going to announce once again, you've dwelt too long in this mount. Child of God, you know what? It's time to go. We need to get out there. We need to go in and possess the land. We need to stand up. You'd be amazed at when you stand up as a believer, how many other believers will stand up with you. It's time to go. Some of you here this morning, you don't know the Lord. May I say to you this morning, you've dwelt too long in that unsaved state. Would you come? It's time to go. Go where? Go to the cross. Come this morning, and you too can be saved. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning, if you're a child of God, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I am a child of God. No question about it. If the rapture took place today, I'm going to heaven, preacher. No question about it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer this morning was simply to communicate a very simple message. It's time to go. It's time for us to leave where we are. It's time for us to evaluate where we are in our walk with Christ and move on to another level of faith and service and dedication to Christ. Oh, Lord God, those that are here today that raised their hand and said they're a born-again believer, oh, Lord, please, would you move? Spirit of God, move in hearts today that people would take that step of faith to go on and leave. We've dwelt too long in this condition. There's a greater blessing waiting us if we'll just go forward. But it's going to require us to turn. We're going to turn from some things, and then we're going to have to take a journey. And we realize that, Lord, we're going to have to journey through this old world. And we realize it's not an easy thing. This world is so full of darkness and sin and evil. But, Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if we'll depend on the power of the Holy Ghost of God, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So would you have your way now in this invitation time this morning? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, there were a few this morning that could not raise their hand and say, preacher, I know I've been born again. If you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. And if I died today, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. And you know what, preacher, I agree. I have dwelt long enough in this unsaved condition. Enough's enough. How many this morning say, preacher, would you pray for me? I want to go to heaven. But if something happened to me today, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. And you would say, preacher, would you pray with me? If you're like that this morning, no one's looking but me. This is a private moment. No one's looking but me. And you'd say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. And if I died today, I can't honestly say that that's where I would be. But you would allow me to pray with you. If you're like that this morning, I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, preacher. Just slip it up. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. And you'd say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. Would you pray with me? Pray with me about that. Anybody else join this one? Anybody else? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anybody else? All right, how many would say this morning, God bless you? How many would say this morning, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me? I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I've accepted Jesus, and I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. How many would say, preacher, would you pray for me? That's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Slip it up and say, pray for me, preacher. I know that's the right thing to do. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else, you say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray with me. I need to take care of this business. May I say to you, you've dwelt long enough. You've dwelt long enough. It's time to go. It's time to come. Anybody else will join these two. All right, then how many are here today and say, preacher, we're visiting today. We need a place to go to church. We need a place to find to go to church that we can call our church home, a place that we can serve. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray with us about that? We're seeking God's will about a place of service in a church home, and we certainly would like God's direction. Would you pray with us about that? If you're like that this morning, I'd like to pray with you about that. Would you slip your hand up if you're willing to let me pray with you about that? God bless you. And you'd say, preacher, I need a place to go to church. I need a place to go to church. I don't have a church home, but I need one. Would you pray with me about that? Would you pray with me? All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I simply commend this invitation to you and ask you to have your will in it. Some, Lord, that raised their hand said they needed to be saved. I pray that they'd not leave this place today without knowing Christ. Some need raised their hand said need to be baptized. I pray that they would come, Lord. They dwelt long enough there. And I pray, Lord God, that they would take the attitude to come this morning and do the right thing. And then some this morning, Lord, need a place to serve in a church home. I pray that you'd move in their life as well. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for this invitation. For we commend it into thine hands in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brother Garner if he'll begin to sing. The instrument's going to begin to play. Listen, if you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved," don't let this time go by. You come. Would you come this morning? It's your opportunity. You come. If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be baptized," you come. Just slip out from where you are. Just slip out. If you want to be a member of this church, all you got to do is just slip out and come. And we've got somebody that'll show you. You come ahead. Come ahead. You come on. Come on. We've got men that'll talk to you. You come ahead. Whatever your need is. Terry. You come. Whatever your need is. This is your opportunity. If you need to be saved, you come. We've got somebody to show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, this is your opportunity. Come ahead. Come on. Hey, it's time. You've dwelt long enough. Enough's enough. It's time to do right now. It's time to choose whose side you're on. Make a choice for Christ. You come. You come.